dirt. Mr. Lawson.
Yes, first item of business today is a proclamation, Sussex County proclamation proclaiming April 29th through May 6th, 2012 as Soil and Water Stewardship Week. Whereas fertile soil and clean water provide us with our daily sustenance, and effective conservation practices have helped provide us a rich standard of living, and our security depends upon healthy soil and clean water, and stewardship calls for each person to help conserve these precious resources. Now, therefore, the Sussex County Council does hereby proclaim April 29th through May 6th, 2012 as Soil and Water Stewardship Week, signed Michael H. Vincent, President, date May 1, 2012. Would you like to come up and have the proclamation presented? Thank you.
I guess I can do that. She made us hungry, now we got to eat dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a picture taken first of you guys. Had a microphone like that. Stand me up here.
Thank you.
You got snuggy clothes, I'm sure, with that. Oh, we got to move to your left.
See what they do.
Center. Now, there you go.
On your
I'll tell you now.
We're tight. Monday through Friday.
Yeah. We're tight.
We're big people.
You don't even, you could do that. You have free time. Why not?
He's trying to find
now,
a good
now, just look to your right a little bit here.
He's trying to find a good picture.
There you go.
Gee, you should have a Democrat in there. You know, it's all Republicans. It's all Republicans.
Were they? Are they wearing some kind of label on them?
Now we're
big R. Big R.
There's your proclamation. You all can have it.
Thank you.
Help yourself.
Thank you.
Sam, pictures are.
These guys, these fellows are to tell them who you are.
God bless you, Bill.
I need it.
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
I'll help you when I can.
President Vincent and members of the County Council, on behalf of Sussex Conservation District, I want to thank you for proclaiming April 29th through May 6th as Soil and Water Stewardship Week in Sussex County. As chairman of the Sussex Conservation District Board of Supervisors, it is a pleasure to stand here before the council each spring and say a few words on behalf of the Soil and Water Stewardship Week celebration and this year's theme, which is Soil to Spoon. For 56 years, our nation's 3,000 soil and water conservation districts have celebrated Soil and Water Stewardship Week. The theme, Soil to Spoon, reminds us to care for our soils as one of our precious natural resources, which we all depend. Rich, healthy soils are needed to grow healthy foods to nourish our bodies. It is imperative to take care of our earth and soil to continue feeding the world's population. By caring for our soils through the planting of cover crops, conservation tillage, nutrient management planning, and other conservation best management practices, our soils remain viable and healthy. And healthy soils equals healthy foods, hence Soil to Spoon. Over the past month, information has been provided to churches, libraries, and schools across Sussex County at no charge. During this Stewardship Week celebration, we need to consider the importance of healthy soils in Sussex County and in Delaware, because people, plants, animals all need healthy foods to live and grow. Please join us in spreading the word that it is everyone's responsibility to be good stewards of our soil and water resources. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
And one other thing, we would like to thank the council for the donation to the Envirothon program. It's a very good program for our youth to study and be contestants in environmental issues pertaining to soil, wildlife, forestry, and other environmental issues. It's been very good.
Thank you. We're glad we can do
that. And we have, we have environmental stewardship sheets or shirts for all the council members and others as far as they go.
And your family.
Thank you again.
Thank you very, very much.
As we all knew, Bill needed no introduction.
That's right. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. County Administrator's Report for May 1st, 2012. Item number one, County Government Day. We are pleased to again sponsor the annual County Government Day on Wednesday, May 2nd, 2012 at 9:30 a.m. High school junior representatives from Sussex County Girls and Boys State will meet in the County Council chambers. A mock County Council session will occur with the representatives assuming leadership roles. It is always an interesting experience to watch student representatives tackle county issues as presented by county department heads. This program can be seen and heard on the county's website tomorrow. Item number two. On Thursday, May 10, 2012, Sussex County will host its annual 911 Awareness Day at the Emergency Operations Center located at 21911 Rudder Lane next to the Georgetown Airport. The event will run from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and is open to the public. Displays and activities from the law enforcement community will include state police helicopters, Sergeant Dan, state farm insurance, canine demos, police cars, fire trucks, ambulances, paramedics, county and state command centers, bike safety, Smokey the Bear, Vince and Larry the Crash Dummies, Delaware Electric Co-op, Fire Marshal's Office Display, Delaware State Fire School, DEMA, Denerec, and 911 education and tours of the operations center. Information regarding the program is attached. The county would also like to thank Domino's Pizza, McDonald's, and Edie's Ice Cream for their sponsorship and providing the food for lunch. And last, Delaware State Police Activity Report, March 2012. Per the attached Delaware State Police Activity Report for March, there were 4,550 total traffic arrests and 1,430 criminal arrests. Of those criminal arrests, 454 were felony and 936 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours spent on duty, 41% were spent on criminal investigations. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I have a question.
Mrs. Medeiros.
I was at a conference yesterday about broadband in the first state, and the reason I went to it was because it's a real opportunity for economic development. I was asked some questions by some folks who were also there. How come our economic development department only has one person? Second question was, what is our plan? What is our economic development plan? I don't know what it is, but I'd like to know. Some things I'd like to know. Thank you.
Okay.
Joan, you might ask them next time, do they have a different plan like what we're doing? Sometimes, you know.
I'd just like to know what it is.
There's nothing wrong with ask that question.
Anything else from council? Mrs. Webb.
Okay. Today we're going to go over the revenue and expense report for the period ending March 31st, 2012. This is 9 months into our fiscal year. You have the report to look at in your packet. I'll go over the key revenues and expenses and just do a brief summary. As you can see, realty transfer tax is just a couple percentage points off the budget and 7% down from last year. So in taking this into the budget for this year, that lets you know where our revenues kind of stand. We're pretty much at the same point. As well as the other real estate related revenues, fire service and building permits and zoning fees are up a bit, but building inspections are down, as well as the private road inspections and water and sewer review inspections. Not a lot of activity there. Moving down to the row offices, clerk of the peace is up, and as you can see, foreclosures are still high in the county. Taking the revenue in total, 3.5% over the budget. So at this point, we're, you know, in a pretty good shape going into our fiscal year, the end of our fiscal year. Don't expect any surprises with drastic drops in revenue as it is 9 months into the year and coming on into late spring and summer when hopefully the building activity will pick up. On the expenses, you can see the percentages for the expenses as we head into our budget. We are 2% at this point above where the budget would be at, but it's hard to predict because that means for 9 months ending, we're at 2% over where our budget should be. It does not mean we're over our budget in total. So a lot of our expenses are out there now, but we still do have 3 months of the year. And this brings us to a modest $472,000 excess of revenues over expenditures, taking us into 9 months. So anticipate not to have any surprises this fiscal year as compared to the budget. Keep in mind, this does include the money that we spent for the supplemental pension is already included in here, so we've been able to support that extra pension and still have a positive position. Hopefully, in June, we'll report back again. I will report back again to see where it comes down, because we do like to do a little estimating at the end of the year to see how it looks.
Any questions of Mrs. Webb?
I do.
Phillips.
Is the supplemental pension listed under personnel expense?
Yes, you can see that under retirement distributions, about one-third of the way down.
Well, I see that is 67%.
Yes.
The one prior to that, personnel expenses.
Oh, that's seven. Because the workers' comp insurance is paid out in total through personnel, and then we reallocate it based on actual salaries. So actually, that's another point. The water and sewer allocations that come in later because it's based on actual have not come in, and that will only make that a more positive number.
Right.
Will be paid back for our general fund expenses.
So that number is guaranteed to significantly be reduced. Is it possible to anticipate that in these quarterly reviews?
It is, and we've talked about that before. The allocation is based on actual, and we really don't do that until after the year ends done, because it's on actual salaries so that we get the best record of the salaries. But we could certainly estimate.
Okay, just wanted as accurate a picture as we could get.
Mm-hmm.
And then up around finance, maybe?
That's insurance also.
That 75% increase?
That's insurance for the finance department just pays all the insurance bills, and then we do an allocation later at the end of the year. A big one of that might be like vehicles. Obviously, I don't have any vehicles in my department, but as we pay the bill, we
okay.
just pay it out of finance. And then when we find out, so much of our vehicle insurance is based on an actual inventory, and then we take count, and then we just spread it all out based on where it is throughout the year. But again, we could look at estimating.
You do that on a number of other items quite accurately. It seems like it'd be appropriate to look
we
at
do
this
do
as well.
Accruals on some of the items that we know for sure, like for salaries. We do it for property taxes because we know that.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. I greatly appreciate these quarterly reports. They help us keep an eye on our finances, and I was just thinking anything that can make them more accurate would be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More questions of council?
Yeah, they are very good. Are we currently, at this time, generally, what's the percentage of the funding that we have in our pension plans? How well funded are they?
We should be getting an actuary report
okay.
any week
okay.
because the actuary date ends at December.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I believe it was 93%, but that's a number that's a year old. And as soon as the actuary report comes in, I'll bring it in. Although I do know our pension contribution for the budget was up a couple of percentage points, again, not meeting the investment
yes.
income standard that they set. So be anxious to see how that falls out.
More questions, Mrs. Webb? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, I have a report this morning. Will include covering many of the pieces of legislation in Dover that we're watching. In your package this week, I included a new substitute bill that's been written for Senate Bill 167. As I've told you in the past weeks, the primary sponsor, Senator Peterson, had promised to rewrite the bill or amend it, and you were given in your package the new rewritten bill. I believe that this new rewritten bill attempts to separate the two issues that were convoluted in the original draft, but I really believe that we should have Mr. Moore examine this bill, and then I'd ask you to weigh in and tell me what our position is on this. Originally, let me read you the new synopsis, and I'll try to divide this, because The problem was there were really two energies all being addressed in one piece of legislation. The synopsis reads, if a municipality or county passes a land use ordinance that violates state law, an aggrieved party has only 60 days to file a court challenge. After that, the ordinance cannot be challenged, nor can subsequent decisions based on that ordinance be challenged based on its invalidity. That statement right there says that, to me anyway, that what they're trying to do is if we have a land use law that is part of our ordinance, that's in our books, that gives you the authority to make certain land use decisions, that law is what this first sentence addresses, the laws that empower your decisions. But that was convoluted by the fact that all of the rezonings and subdivisions and conditional uses that you also approve are also in the ordinance form. So the word ordinance was really picking up two different components. One is your code and the other are your finished decisions. And that's what they're trying to, now this new bill are trying to separate those two thoughts for you. I'll read on. This bill seeks to remove that bar, recognizing that the enactment of an ordinance that violates state law cannot be legitimized by the passage of time. However, this ordinance provides that any rezoning plan or subdivision approval that is not directly appealed within 60 days shall not be affected by a subsequent invalidation of a municipal or county land use ordinance, code, regulation, or map. I believe that the sponsor is trying to separate the two into different platforms, and really what she wants to address is the county code, not land use decisions you've made in ordinance. I'd really like to have Mr. Moore weigh in and after he's had a chance to review this and give us advice on what our position should be on this new drafted bill. I would suspect that now that this new bill is out, it will probably wind up in a committee relatively soon for discussion. And I would like to have your opinion and your direction on how to address that. Okay, moving on. House Bill 298, this is our assessor's bill. This is the bill that we're working with the other two counties on to change a piece of Delaware code that seems to violate our procedure for assessing properties. I just got a call this morning about an hour before your meeting started that we now have the governor's attention on this piece of legislation, and I believe it's favorable in our favor. The Attorney General's office is now weighing in on this decision because the implications of the current state code are very significant, and we're trying to adjust that so that reassessment would not be caused by any court action, but rather it would be a decision made by the legislature. So that's really This bill is gaining some momentum now that we've got the attention of the executive branch as well as the Attorney General. So I just got that phone call this morning from my counterpart in Newcastle County that she had had a conversation with Greg Patterson, who is the governor's legislative assistant.
Now that has passed the House and the Senate?
No, this bill has not passed either chamber yet. What we're trying to do with this bill is remove a paragraph out of state law that we feel infringes on our right to set our own program for assessment.
I understand, but I didn't know this clear.
Right. You really have to study this issue to understand the problem here. Our director of assessment, Eddie Parker, understands it very clearly and has educated me on what's wrong with the state law and the regulations that it promulgated. Okay, the next one is House Bill 274. This is the dog licensing bill, which I believe will be tabled until summertime for further discussion later in August, more than likely. House Bill 278, as you know, as well as House Bill 281 and 283, all three of these bills were initiated by us to make favorable improvements in state code for our operations. They've all three passed the House. They've been assigned to Senate committees. I just sent an email to the Senate sponsors that we had on these three bills asking them if they could aggressively request committee hearings on these bills because they've been assigned to Senate committees, and I've been following the committees and have not seen them come up on the meeting schedules. So I'm now asking our primary sponsors in the Senate on these three bills to request that our issues be addressed in the appropriate committees. They're assigned to just two different committees. 278 and 281 are both assigned to the Revenue and Taxation Committee in the Senate, and 283 has been assigned to the Senate Community County Affairs Committee. Okay. No movement so far on substitute one for Senate Bill 156. That's another dog bill. 290 has been stricken. 149 has not been scheduled for any committee hearings, while it has been assigned to the Senate Natural Resources and Environmental Committee. I don't think that bill is moving very aggressively.
Give us a synopsis on that. Give me a synopsis.
This bill, 149, is a bill about endangered species. It's very detailed. You really have to read the entire bill. But the state here, if this bill were to pass, would have the authority to monitor all endangered species and to control the list of endangered species in the state. And then from that, but there is a sentence in here that I believe goes to support our independence to some degree. In the synopsis, see if I can find the part I'm looking for. They mentioned that it will not be used as an authority over land use decisions. Yeah, it says right here, in implementing these conservation programs, the DENERAC shall not restrict the use or development of private property. That sentence is in there, but there are contrary comments made all through the synopsis as well. So it's just not clear to me what authority that bill would establish, other than the fact that the state would be in complete control of endangered species, whatever that means.
That's 249?
149. Mm-hmm. Again, the bill's not moving. It's Senator McDowell's bill. He many times serves as a leader on these kind of environmental bills, and this one at this point in time is not even scheduled for a committee hearing yet.
Bad bill.
Right. There's a bill that should be introduced either today. That's one reason why I'll be going to Dover as soon as we finished here. One of the bills that we were hoping for would allow us to take appeals on our Board of Assessment by appointment through the month of March each year, rather than requiring our board to sit for 15 days at our expense and not hear any appeals. Right. This bill seems to have very broad support, and I'm told it'll be introduced today when the House goes into session.
Good.
We have a number of sponsors from up and down the state, so everyone saw the common sense behind this initiative, I think. I wanted to bring your attention also to House Substitute 1 for House Bill 227. This bill will be heard in committee tomorrow at 3:30. This is the bill that requires universal design standards to be applied to all construction, particularly residential dwellings, when public finance is provided. We don't think, at least our staff doesn't think, that this causes us any operational problems. If you feel that it causes a problem of policy, then you need to let me know, because we have not opposed this bill. We've remained relatively neutral. Tomorrow, the hearing for this meeting is scheduled at 3:30, and I have another one scheduled at 3. And knowing the workings of the General Assembly, I might not be able to attend both. So I plan to take someone from our Community Development Office with me to cover the public hearing on this bill at 3:30, if in fact I get tied up in the other meeting that I plan to attend at 3. But this bill pertains to requiring universal standard, which is handicapped adaptable standards, wider doors, removing steps where convenient in the design of new homes, if public funds are used.
But it's a dwelling. It doesn't mean you're talking about residential dwellings.
Yes.
It doesn't mean like when we built this building, like when we build a paramedic building or a county building.
I'm not certain whether or not it
involve those kind of dwellings.
I'm not sure. I'd have to read this again. I'm not sure the breadth of this bill, whether it goes that broad or not.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out what dwelling meant, that's all.
I mean, you're saying if it uses government money, right?
Yes.
And somebody who builds a house with their own money, it doesn't apply to them?
Correct.
How about if they use some kind of loan Fannie and Freddie, which is quasi-government.
Public financial assistance includes a contract with a state agency, real estate donated by the state, state tax credits, grant assistance from state funds, state loan guarantees, federal funds administered by the state, its agency, local governments, or municipalities, and funding from local governments and their agencies. So it's pretty broad as to how they define public funds. Correct.
Cat's whisker.
That's correct. The substitute bill clarifies that requirements do not apply to renovating structures or to homeowners' residents. In selecting a bid, the extent of universal design use may form a basis to award the contract based on the best value rather than the lowest bid. The bill sets up a 41-point scale covering the key elements of universal design, and the substitute bill allows for fractions of a point based on the degree to which the project uses universal design features.
So it will not apply to renovations, is what you're
no,
saying?
No, correct. According to the current wording, yes, it does not apply to renovations.
And it doesn't, and it changes the method of selection from lowest bid to this other project.
Yes. The bill sets up a 41-point scale covering key elements of universal design.
Are you going to have a fiscal note?
Excuse me?
Will it have a fiscal note?
It doesn't yet at this point. I haven't seen a fiscal note on this bill. I can ask if you'd like.
Please. Mm-hmm. It seems like it should. It is going to run call stuff.
Any more questions of council, Mr. Godwin?
Nope.
Thank you, sir.
I do have, I'm sorry. I have one more bill that I'd like to make you aware of. This bill was just introduced a few days ago and is scheduled for a committee hearing tomorrow. It's Senate Bill 195. This bill would pertain to us, I think. I'm going to need Mr. Moore to weigh in on this. It may affect some of the programs we've assembled in our land use code over the past few years. Let me read you the synopsis first. This bill provides for disclosure materials and information to be distributed where additional density or bonuses have been granted by the local government. It also provides for penalties for failures to provide these materials at the discretion of the local jurisdiction. If you read the bill, it talks a lot in this bill about density, bonuses, and whatnot, and it talks about disclosing to all buyers in a community like this the benefits of the fixed-priced homes, how the entire program is worked to offer some advantage to the people that buy the fixed-priced homes. It's something that I would really like you to give me direction on and Mr. Moore to measure it against our current code, because I believe it may have some effect on some of the code that we have that offers these kinds of features in land use decisions.
Who's to provide this disclosure now? Is it the county?
This bill would affect counties and towns.
But I'm just saying, if somebody's, these neighbors or something, in other words, I know in real estate, you know, there's always a seller's got to provide a disclosure to the buyer. Who's providing the disclosure to who?
It sounds like we are.
If it's our design, if the
subdivision is being built with our design that includes density bonuses, which I know we have.
An MR district in the surrounding area, it assumes it's going to be 4 units to the acre, and then we
correct.
Give them something else. We then have to disclose to what the people that are all
well,
around.
Particularly if we're affecting the retail price of the properties. At least that's how I read it.
Mr. Cole, in response to your question, just a very quick glance. I just got this same time you did. It appears to me that it does not say who gives the notice. It just says a notice shall be given. I really want to look at the section that this is being inserted in to determine what the additional protection was, because it's in Title 6, I believe. Right. Yeah, Title 6.
Six.
So I would want to see what is being amended in Title 6, Chapter 36, to determine what was already there. You know,
all right, yeah, disclosures, in my opinion, are good. There's nothing wrong with a disclosure, right. But who's giving the one to who, and who do you have to give it to? I mean, and why? I don't. You know, I still don't.
Right.
Well, yeah, and it also mentions the penalties for governments that don't provide these materials. So that sent my antenna up immediately.
Get to the bottom of that, please.
Are they looking to protect the buyer of at retail who may be buying into a community that has other fixed price?
I suspect this is to service those people who are not taking advantage of the fixed price
right.
product.
Okay.
Because there has been, I've heard concern based on that theory in Legislative Hall for the last couple of years, mostly from upstate. But we do have ordinances that provide for this sort of benefit to buyers. So I thought that we really should take a close look at how this fits into our plan mm-hmm. and our initiatives. This bill will be in, this is the one that will be in a committee hearing tomorrow at 3, that I will make sure I'm in that one, and I may have to delegate the attendance for the 3:30 committee hearing to someone else.
But people that live in Eagle Point would have loved to have known that the old Jackson dump was going to be developed with moderately priced rental units before they bought their homes. I guess there's really no protection for that.
I apologize for the late delivery of this Senate Bill 195, but I just got it yesterday. It had been introduced for a few days, and I hadn't seen it on the radar. But when I checked my committee hearings yesterday, I saw it in a committee hearing. That's where I found it.
Does 298A-1, does that seem like that's going to pass?
298?
290.
Oh, 290 has been stricken.
H-A.
That's been stricken. The amendment was stricken with the bill.
Oh, it did. The both
yes,
went off.
Yes. When the bill was stricken, it took the amendment out with it.
Do you see any other new number coming up?
I haven't seen any new any new number for that bill at all. No, sir. But I will be attending today and tomorrow for sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Howdy, dip tool.
Miss Patty.